I can bring home the bacon fried up in a pan and never let you forget who I am, 'cause I'm a woman. W-O-M-A-N. I'll say it again. 'Cause I'm a woman. W-O-M-A-N. Welcome to Word of Mom Radio.
Hi, everyone. You're listening to the Word of Mom Radio Network, and this is a special episode. I'm Ellen Ferranti. Many of you know me as Dr. Ellen from our Wednesday show, Mindful Healthy Habits, with Tracy and Ellen. And I'm here with my co-host of that show, Tracy Timmons, because she's the director of a new play, an independent play written by playwright Kelly Blessing, and it's called You Don't Know How It Feels. Many of you may remember that I love the theater, and Tracy and I have talked about the theater before, and I really didn't know that there was an independent plays or performed literally in my backyard, in my neighborhood, especially here in the East Village. Anyway, I went to the opening night of this play with my son Chris Shimano as my date, and it was moving and it was powerful. I have the playwright Kelly Blessing here with us and the director Tracy Timmons joining us now. Say hi, ladies.
Hi.
Hi.
Okay, so that was a collective high. One was Tracy and one was Kelly. So welcome,
and
welcome.
I'm so excited that you and I decided to do this on a Wednesday show, even though we're really doing Mindful Healthy Habits. But as you and I have talked about, you know, theater is such, the arts in general are such a big part of helping people to feel, you know, healthy mind, you know, and healthy, you know, psyche and healthy feeling good about yourself. And so I'm happy that you and I both decided that it was appropriate to share this Wednesday.
Absolutely.
With our audience.
You know that it is a great diversion for me. It's a whole nother side of me other than as a New York City doctor, and I absolutely love it and embrace it. And I have a funny feeling that even though the subject matter of this play is very serious, I have a funny feeling that maybe why Kelly writes. So let's hear from Kelly Blessing about why she wrote this play, and tell us the title again and a little bit about the play, et cetera. And then you guys have to tell me how you met.
Okay.
Sure.
Good.
So the play has been a work of progress for quite a number of years. It unfortunately came out of my own personal experiences as a young teenager and then again as an adult. And it was interesting because when Lady Gaga had done her her song, You Don't, Till It Happens to You, I was at my friend's Oscar party, and she had done that musical number, and I was just so touched by it. And at the same time, the person who had put me in this story, so to speak, had passed away. And I had seen all the Facebook messages of old friends talking about how wonderful this particular teacher was. And I remember just being so angry as I was kind of surfing through my social media and remembering, you know, a few experiences of mine that I just had the desire. I don't even know if those desires right were, just had the urge to just write. And so
sure.
I called up the work the next day, and I just wrote the entire first draft of the play in like 24 hours. It was absolutely abysmal, but it was definitely something that had came out of pure anger. And I let it go for a while, and then I went back and edited it. And that's the version I had, you know, built the courage up to show Danny, because I was like, well, this could be a shot. I think it's pretty decently written, so let's see what happens.
Sure. How long ago was that, Kelly?
It was first written, what, about 2.5 years ago?
Yeah, very
and
recently.
Yeah, we've been on this journey for like a year and a half now, I think.
Yeah, well, it's actually a little more than a year and a half since we did the staged reading, so probably altogether getting close to 2 years from when
years.
You first
yeah,
submitted
yeah,
to thinking. Dark Knight. And I know for a fact you and I first talked about me directing it in December of 2016 when we were doing the tribute to Tom Clancy,
right.
The founder of Dark Knight Productions, who had passed away that summer. And I know that Kevin and Danny at that point had already read the play, talked to me about it already, you know, how excited they were about this play because they thought it was really incredible. So, yeah, it's probably at least 2 years since you submitted it, I would say.
How interesting, yeah, because, again, a lot of this is therapeutic, expressive writing, expressive arts, and it's interesting that you said, Kelly, that it was something that you had to do. And we use these techniques, too. Quite interesting. Once again, I think it's good for our audience to tell us the name of the play, and in your own words, just to give a brief synopsis rather than me say it.
Sure. The name of the play is You Don't Know How It Feels, and Trace, feel free to jump in with synopsises, but it's the story of a middle school girl. She's on that cusp of middle school, high school age, who is very kind of naive about, like, the ways of the world. And she goes through the loss of her sister, and she meets up with this teacher who kind of manipulates he manipulates her. And Trace, you can jump in because summary that you
don't
have.
Yeah,
we're
doing
fine, Kelly.
Basically, it's a really great story because it shows that this teacher is like, and as Kelly said, from the real life situation, you know, a beloved teacher, the students, the parents, the faculty, everybody loves him because he legitimately is, you know, mentoring students and caring about them beyond just his own subject matter, helping them with their grades, helping Dina when her sister dies, you know, helping different people with different situations. And probably genuinely in his own mind believes that he's helpful, but unfortunately some of these relationships take a really dark turn.
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah. And because he's so beloved, it's very difficult for people to see that maybe this is happening and for the student herself to even understand how to get out of this situation. And I do want to share, actually, because Carson, our technical director, and Peter, our stage manager, and I went out to dinner after the show last night, and Kelly had gone home because she had her uncle and wanted to drive him home. And Carson actually is the first person that we offered the role of the teacher to. He's been a member of Dark Knight for a while, a really great actor, mm-hmm. and he turned it down because he felt that he couldn't bring the proper humanity to the role, and he didn't feel comfortable trying to portray it. And one of the things he said, though, that he was impressed by when he first read the script, and even more so obviously seeing it in production, is how amazed he was, Kelly, that you were able to tell this story without it coming across as a therapy session. And honestly, if you remember when we applied to the Dream Up Festival, Ellen, one of the things about the Dream Up Festival is they try to present plays that do something differently, you know. And I was struggling to come up with what is different about our play because it's a pretty straight drama, you know. There's nothing innovative about how we're doing it, you know. But
no,
I knew that there was something innovative in how we were telling the story, and Carson really made me realize that that's the key. That most
absolutely
of the time
a minute there and really get that point across. Let's go back. Dark Knight Productions is the production company that has put this out.
Yes. Yes.
And go back to what Dream Up Festival is and how they are looking for innovative plays. It's not just, it's having a message and that message being relevant to what's going on today. There's lots of plays out there, but there's a difference in this independent production and why it's relevant and why you have to do it. And it was interesting that Kevin Clancy, again, one of the original founders from Dark Knight Productions, has said to me, it can only be directed by a woman. So speak about that a little bit, because I think our listeners, especially many of them are women, would like to hear about this. And I'll just share one other thing as you digress and go into that. And I sat there during the play and wondered, and started reacting about how I would deal with this if I were the parent or if I were the principal, et cetera. So go.
Well, thank you. Yeah, and it's really difficult. And speaking of that, George Dominic, our incredible actor who plays the principal,
He and I have worked together a really, really long time, and it's our first time in these reverse roles. He's been the director and I've been the actor. A lot of times it's the first time that I'm directing him as an actor. But our processes are very similar. We really like to dig deeply into the character. And, of course, no matter what, as an actor, you're always bringing a little piece of yourself to the character, but also you have to tap into the ways that the character might be different. And, of course, George and I are very similar in that, you know, what we want to do is take Lico and slam him up against a wall and punch him in the face and possibly stab him to death. And
that's how I found my reaction during the play.
Yeah. Yes,
so we're talking about
exactly.
The teacher who crosses that line. And
exactly. And once you
there's
know
no
that
longer
that's
a teacher,
done,
but an abuser. Yeah.
And
right.
George and I had to talk a lot about how, as the principal of the school, he's got certain specific responsibilities that, you know, the personality that brought this gentleman to becoming a principal of a school as opposed to an actor, you know, means that there's a level of, you know, probably self-control and following the rules and everything else, and how Principal Stanley's reactions needed to be a little different than, you know, George Dominic's reactions or even Tracy Simmons' reactions. And, you know, one of the things I said to Gabriel Morales, the incredible actor who plays Nicole, the teacher, and, you know, we had talked a little bit about the search, and we offered the role to either three or four Dark Knight members who all turned it down before we actually had to reach out into the community. And Dark Knight Productions normally doesn't do auditions. It's all just, you know, we're people that we know, and we offer things to people and opportunities to stretch yourself and do different things. And I said to Danny and Kevin, I'm like, well, I'm not offering this role to a friend of a friend that I never met. You know, we have to audition. And I literally put out a call to everybody I knew and just said, if you know an actor who might be interested in a very difficult role with a very difficult subject matter, you know, please put them in touch with me. I had 8 actors get in touch with me. 6 of them agreed to at least look at the script once they talked to me. 3 of them agreed to audition. Only 2 of them showed up for the audition. And and then Gabe was very clearly the guy. And when we did the staged reading, we talked a lot about the actor's job in terms of, you know, nobody goes through life thinking they are evil. Like, nobody walks around, you know, even Hitler, even, you know, Hitler always pops into my head, Kelly, which is, of course, interesting because of all your references. We actually reference the Holocaust and Himmler more than Hitler.
Himmler,
in this. But, yeah, he always pops into my mind as the most evil person in the world. But didn't walk around thinking, I'm this horrible evil guy, right? Like, he had all these reasons why he did what he did. And the actor's job when you play a quote-unquote bad guy is to figure that out, you know, come up with the backstory, come up with the justifications, come up with
Trace,
how...
If I can jump in there,
please,
as a
yes.
writer, we had the stage reading, and I think that was the single most thing that turned it from a therapy session into a play. We had a lot of feedback from the stage reading. A majority of it was positive. You know, you had your some of that people don't like the subject matter, whatever, and that's cool. That's art, you know. So we got feedback from a couple of people, you know, saying that I had made Mako too dark, right? Like, so he was someone that you could not relate to. And then Tracy had said to me, well, you know, is he the hero of his own story? And that made me think, like, well, what he is saying and what he is doing in his own mind, he is correct. So that piece of feedback is what really helped me scale back his character and bring in a more humanistic turn, because I did have the hardest problem writing him.
And therein lies the innovation, ladies. Therein lies the innovation and
right.
why it is so realistic.
Right, exactly.
Because once again, this is a teacher. Could be a teacher anywhere. A New York City
right.
teacher. Anywhere. And it's a
right.
fine line. And once they cross that line, it is wrong.
And I mean,
it is wrong,
an educator,
and yet Kelly allowed, and of all people, Kelly had the right to not want to humanize this character, to only be interested in demonizing this character, yet understood for the good of the play to be able to present it to the audience that she had to at least give the foundation of the character that he is a human being. I mean, no matter mm-hmm. what he did and how wrong it is, he is a human being. And I, as a director, when we were working on the stage reading, talked a lot to Gabe about what his job was, but literally told him, but don't tell me. I don't want to know your story. I don't want to know your justifications.
I want to hate you. Don't tell me. And we actually kind of maintained that during the staged reading. Once we had done the rewrites, and Kelly and I worked a lot together, but I was actually, again, just telling the story to Peter and Carson last night, that we worked like literally line by line and rewrote the play together over many bottles of wine and a sleepover one night. And but yet then Kelly goes off and takes that and then puts her pixie dust on it and takes it even a step further. You know, we did all this stuff that really made it a better play together, but then Kelly somehow magically takes it a step further once she kind of goes back into her own head with it and really went even further than that. I'm not going to actually reveal. There's literally one line that she wrote for Mako that's buried in the middle of a paragraph in a moment that you can't possibly be. I don't want to say what the line is, Kelly, because we were saying how some people will catch it and some people don't, and I think it's good that way. But it's literally buried in the middle of a paragraph in a moment where you can't even possibly sympathize with Mako, yet it's the line that really tells you, in my opinion, you know, why. Because, you know, nobody just becomes a sexual predator out of nowhere. You know, they have a history, and they have things that, that brought them there. And while I feel that it is a sickness and it is a disease, I also don't feel that that excuses anybody or, you know, makes them immune to punishment for it, because always it's a choice on how you react to what has happened to you. And we all have opportunities to better ourselves. However, the main reason for me, the reason we're doing this play is that it's been studied and brought about at this point in time, approximately 30% of all people who suffer from sexual abuse become predators themselves. And those are always the people who get no help, who get no support, who don't have the, who aren't told that it wasn't their fault. You know, so they get to go through thinking that they possibly deserved it, they did something to make it happen, and then go about and perpetuate the cycle. And I feel that if we can shine a light on the situation and make sure that people are helped and given the support that they need, then eventually they stop becoming abusers themselves, and maybe someday this won't even be an issue that we need to talk about because it won't exist.
You know, again, one of the messages of the play, and I think that given all this, and again, I'm biased because I'm a woman, I happen to agree with Kevin Clancy when he said it had to be directed by a woman and it was written by a woman. And I think that we bring a, I don't want to say unique spin, but I want to say that, and this is the how I am too, a different depth to material. We bring our experiences. And I can't help but think sometimes it is along gender lines, for whatever reason. It could be experiences, it could be mothering, it could be the way we've been brought up, etc. But I think that's what also makes this play unique, and I happen to agree with Kevin. You guys didn't tell me how you met. I think our listeners might be interested in knowing how you guys met.
Right, and we'll be kind, Kelly, but...
Come on. We have
story. I'll jump in, Trace. So Trace and I had met, as she had said, through Dark Knight. And it was, I had just written the script. Danny had just read it. She had said we were going to maybe do something with it. And I didn't have a director. I don't direct. I don't know directors. I'm a writer.
Okay.
But I had really admired Tracy's work in the musical that had stage bands with her. She was a very professional director. We collaborated very well. I knew exactly what she wanted as a designer, so she made my life pretty easy. And she had a really good vision for how to direct actors through different songs and how to bring out these different layers. So I had actually wanted Tracy to do it, but I am not the most forthcoming person with asking for necessarily what I want. So Trace and I were backstage at Tom Clancy's memorial performance, and Kevin had just come off the stage, and we were standing there, and Tracy's like, "So you wrote this play, I heard." And I'm like, "Yeah, I wrote it." And Tracy's like, "So, like, you know, you wrote this play, and do you need to have
and
a director?
And who's directing it?
I'm like, no, I don't have a director, so you can take it, Tracy.
Oh, my gosh.
And then Tracy's like, well, I could direct it. And I was like, oh, my God, yeah, I wanted you to.
Of course you can. Of course you can. And again, for our listeners, I'm just going to reiterate, we're talking about Dark Knight Productions. We're talking about Daniel Nicole Tyler, who's head of it, and Kevin and Tom Clancy, who had started it originally. That's my understanding. And I've come to meet these people, and I absolutely just adore this whole new world to me. So I love hearing stories like this, and I'm sure our listeners do too. And it gives us a... you know, an insight into the human side of all of us on the Word of Mom Radio Network, too. And I met Tracy on the Internet, on Facebook, going back and forth. And I was doing Facebook Lives, and I had discovered the Word of Mom Radio. And I am so proud to be working with her in this particular venue, et cetera. So
well,
your head's now probably all swollen. Head at this point.
Our heads are swollen, and you know, and believe it or not, we've probably been talking about as long as we want to wrap this up. But I do want to make sure that people know that, as Ellen has said, the play is You Don't Know How It Feels, written by Kelly Blessing and directed by me, Tracy Timmons. It's being produced by Dark Knight Productions in the Dream Up Festival at Theater for the New City, which is at 155 First Avenue between 9th and 10th Street in New York City. We will have links to the Facebook event, to the ticketing page, and people who are interested in coming can do that. We have 4 shows still remaining. We have 3 in a row coming up this weekend, Saturday the 8th at 8 p.m., Sunday the 9th at 3:30 p.m., and Monday the 10th at 6:30 p.m., and then our closing night performance will be Saturday, September 15th at 8 o'clock.
Sounds wonderful. And again, there are links on my Facebook page, too. And we encourage all of you to come out. And thanks very much for coming on the show. I love this role of interviewing. So, Tracy, my co-host, we're going to do more of this.
Yes,
okay,
yes,
thanks
we are,
much,
Ellen, I love you in this role, too. Thanks
okay,
so much.
Okay, till next time, everyone.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. You've been listening to the Word of Mom Radio Network.
Let's take a moment to give a shout-out to our great sponsors, Safety Bags, StadiumBags.com, and Tracy's Healthy Habits, and to share a grieving father's thoughts in support of his kind campaign to raise awareness of the tragedies that bullying can lead to.
Hi, it's Dori DiCarlo, founder of Safety Bags, Inc., a line of clear bags and backpacks there to assist with safety issues in schools, offices, airports, different workplaces, public venues, and sports arenas. Both professional and college sports have now adopted a clear bag policy. Anything larger than the palm of your hand has to be clear. With that in mind, we've launched StadiumBags.com for the dedicated sports fan and more. We've been featured on GMA's Deals and Steals, on AsSeenOnTV.pro with Kevin Harrington, the original shark from Shark Tank, Worldwide Business with Kathy Ireland, InStyle TV, and more. Our clear mini backpack, mini messenger bag, and tote bag in 4 colors meet the size requirements for both pro and college sports. You can visit us at StadiumBags.com, and you'll see why we're the clear choice, because safety, it's in the bag.
Do you have health goals you can't reach? Tried and failed every plan or gained back what you lost? Every diet works while you follow it, but until you are more mindful of your habits and relationship to nutrition and fitness, you will never maintain a healthy weight. Imagine reaching optimal health, high energy, free and easy breathing, and maybe less time with doctors and medications. I lost 75 pounds 4 years ago and became a certified health coach to pay forward the habits of health. Contact me at tracyshealthyhabits@gmail.com for a free, no-obligation health assessment. We will explore your goals and what optimal health looks like for you. If you are a good fit for our program, my coaching is always free. Become the best you you can be at Tracy's Healthy Habits. That's TRACIS healthyhabits@gmail.com.
Fly high, my angel. These are 4 words I never thought I'd have to say about my daughter. As the father of 3 beautiful daughters, I thought everything was perfect. Samantha, Juliana, and Amelia were my life. Depression, caused by relentless bullying, ate at my daughter Juliana. On January 8th of this year, she took her life. Bullying has consequences, and I really don't want any other family to have to go through this. It's an epidemic that has to be rectified. Fly high, my angel Juliana. You're always in my heart.
Join them on Facebook. Juliana Caraturo Kind Campaign. That's Juliana Caraturo Kind Campaign. Thank you. Thank you so much for listening today to Mindful Healthy Habits with Tracy and Ellen. I was excited to be a part of the interview along with my friend and colleague Kelly Blessing that Ellen Ferranti so masterfully handled and presenting what we're trying to do with You Don't Know How It Feels and theater in general. And what I'd like to encourage all of you to do is, obviously, we'd like you to check out the link for You Don't Know How It Feels and come and see us in the Dream Up Festival. But please just support the arts in your community in whatever form that takes. Support arts and education. Support arts in our community. Support opportunities for people to express themselves creatively and access the joy of being a part of something. And just the feelings that are expressed and shared and being a part of a community. So whether it's one of the projects that we share here at Word of Mom Radio Network or just something that is local to your area that you can get behind and support, please support local theater. Please support arts and education. Please make sure that we all have opportunities to continue to share and express ourselves. Tomorrow, in honor of Suicide Awareness Month, we will once again feature the episode where Dori DiCarlo interviewed her cousin David Caraturo regarding his feelings on the recent suicide of his daughter Juliana after being relentlessly bullied in high school. And Kelly Carius of No Such Thing as a Bully and Moment of Kindness. Kelly is working to change the dialogue and to change the culture where bullying can't exist anymore. And that's the goal. And obviously for no more people to feel so isolated and so alone that they feel the need to take their own lives. Please remember to be happy, be healthy, and most importantly, to be yourself. Make today a great day. Be the best you can possibly be. And we will close out again today as we have been doing since the Smith Sisters Bluegrass and Boys and the Bees were so gracious as to share their fantastic song with us. Please remember that sure, strong, true, brave, bold woman. She is you.
She is sure.
She is sure.
She is strong.
She is strong.
She is true.
She is true.
She is brave.
She is brave.
She is bold.
She is bold.
She is you.
She is you. She is you. She is you.
She is sure.
She is sure.
She is strong.
She is strong.
She is true.
She is true.
She is brave.
She is brave.
She is bold.
She is bold.
She is you.
She is you. She is you. She is you.
Sure of herself. Yeah, she takes care of biz. Powerful and strong. Yeah, she knows who she is. Has integrity. Woman strong and true. You know her by name. See, this woman is you. She is sure.
She is sure.
She is strong.
She is strong.
She is true.
She is true.
She is brave.
She is brave.
She is bold.
She is bold.
She is you.
She is you. She is you.
She is sure.
She is sure.
She is strong.
She is strong.
She is true.
She is true.
She is brave.
She is brave.
She is bold.
She is bold.
She is you.
She is you. She is you. She is you.
Adds value and hope. Proved to be brave. See, it's never too late, never time to behave. Reaching for dreams, doesn't matter the age. Believes in herself, unleashed from her cage. She is sure.
She is sure.
She is strong.
She is strong.
She is true.
She is true.
She is brave.
She is brave.
She is bold.
She is bold.
She is you.
She is you. She is you.
She is sure.
She is sure.
She is strong.
She is strong.
She is true.
She is true.
She is brave.
She is brave.
She is bold.
She is bold.
She is you.